Theoretically, there are environmental watchdogs at the EPA or private organizations keeping an eye on what American companies are doing on climate change, what they're emitting into our air or putting into the water. But there's another important data point to consider if you're tracking big businesses' impact on climate change. It's what the companies themselves claim, what they disclose voluntarily. I spoke to an ISU accounting professor, Den Patton, who's an expert in these so-called corporate social responsibility disclosures. Here's what's in them.
Just really things that are that you might think of as the intersection between business and social or environmental concerns.
And this latest research that you've done, looking at how corporate disclosures on climate change have changed or not changed during the Trump administration. But before we get into that, what has been the Trump administration's record or approach on the environment and climate change? Can you kind of catch us up, our listeners?
Well, it kind of gets lost with all of the other, if you will, controversies that the administration seems to get itself into. But at the very beginning of the Trump administration, probably the largest focus of their actions and societal reaction to that dealt with environmental issues in general, and more specifically related to issues of climate change. And as I point out in the paper, one of the clear signals of this was that the Trump transition team was led by Myron Ebel, who was a known climate contrarian, and Trump filled his staff with other climate deniers. And in particular, Perry at the Department of Energy and Zinke in the Department of Interior, and his name escapes me at the moment, is the head of the EPA, the Attorney General for the state of Oklahoma.
Oh, Scott Pruitt.
Scott Pruitt. And Pruitt, again, very interestingly, had actually sided with the fossil fuel industry while he was Attorney General of Oklahoma to sue the EPA 14 different times, and yet Trump names him as the head of the agency. And again, really, in terms of environmental issues, it is the EPA, it's the Department of Interior, and it's the Department of Energy that are the three federal departments that are most closely tied to environmental-related issues.
And as this kind of regulatory rollback is happening in the Trump administration, how is society reacting? What are some of the cultural pushback that we've been seeing as a result of those things?
Well, again, particularly early in the administration, but carrying through to even through to today, although again it gets kind of washed out with so much other stuff going on. But the very early response to the Trump administration policies relative to climate change and the environment was it was very noticeable, particularly with respect to, for example, again as I point out in the paper, involvement or the movement to join environmental nonprofit organizations. I highlight that the Sierra Club saw a significant increase in the membership applications following the Trump in the 1 month following the election of Trump, and I believe the number was like 12,000 new member applications or 18,000 new member applications where they had never had more than 1,500 in a month before. Similarly, the Natural Resources Defense Council, also indicated they had the highest level of contributions that they had ever had following the Trump election. So clearly, people were concerned even just with the election that the environment was going to be an issue. As Trump's actions began to take hold, we saw two major public demonstrations in Washington, D.C. in April of 2017, one related to Earth Day and one a week later. It was a March for Climate Change. And the first was the largest public demonstration they'd ever had in Washington, D.C. And the People's Climate Change March the following week, it also had a large turnout in Washington, D.C., but it also had spinoffs in more than 300 different cities across the U.S. So these public demonstrations were another example of the public fallout to or social backlash to the Trump administration policies.
This is Sound Ideas. I'm Ryan Denham, speaking with Den Patton, a distinguished professor of accounting at ISU's College of Business. He'll be speaking about corporate climate change disclosures during the Trump administration at a lecture Friday at 11 a.m. here at ISU. So, Den, your recent study here looked at climate change disclosures of 173 different publicly traded companies. What kind of companies are we talking about? Can you give examples or at least describe in broad terms?
In broad terms, it's just that we're focusing on large firms in the economy just because it is they tend to be – they face greater social and visibility concerns and any number of companies that you would recognize, just the IBM, Caterpillar, all of the major oil and gas companies the major players in the economy are really the companies that tend to be consistent reporters. Now, noting that to be included in our sample, they had to have had an available standalone CSR-type report available for our period of interest.
And so you're looking at how these companies are disclosing their impact on climate change in whatever direction over time, you know, before the Trump administration and during the Trump administration. And they're reporting this through these CSRs, these corporate social responsibility reports. And your study notes a really interesting disconnect between the Trump administration's regulatory rollback on climate change happening at the same time as increased public interest in addressing climate change. I wonder why that disconnect, those two things moving in opposite directions, are so interesting to you in this research.
Well, it's interesting to me because I've been interested in understanding corporate CSR disclosure, and particularly environmental disclosure, throughout my career. And the theoretical model that underlies my beliefs about why companies use this disclosure is that they use the disclosure as a tool for addressing their exposures to regulatory or social and regulatory pressures, that there is a definite concern that when society is upset with something, it often manifests through political action against the companies. And a classic example is what really led to this whole thing in the late 1960s and the early 1970s. It was public concern with the pollution and environmental performance that ultimately led to major changes in the environmental laws. And so that's a classic example of how you can look at it in any number of other areas that have potential impacts across businesses. So one of the things that early research documented was that there was variation in the extent to which companies included various types of disclosures. And my interest in this has been trying to explore whether there is consistency between the types of reporting and the extent of reporting that companies participate in, and whether that's tied to the levels of social and political exposure, and then more importantly, where we see changes in those exposures. Do we see changes in the disclosure practices of companies? And what's interesting here is that in contrast to virtually all of the previous events that have been examined for changes in disclosure, this is the first situation that I'm aware of where we have this divide between how society seems to see something, the social exposures, as opposed to what's going on with respect to the actual political actions and regulatory actions that the Trump administration is making. And so it's just an interesting opportunity from my perspective to explore what happens when these pressures aren't in sync, and does one dominate over another, or do they wash each other out?
And your research gets into some really interesting observations about where a company is headquartered and how that impacts their climate change disclosures. What did you find there?
Again, this is based on a set of studies that had previously looked at whether having headquarters in a Republican-leaning state, or what based on the maps, a red state, whether that led to differences in environmental performance, or whether it explained differences in environmental performance. And these studies documenting that everything else being equal, companies that were headquartered in red states tended to have worse environmental performance. But the argument here is that the Republican Party in particular is obviously less concerned with environmental issues, or they believe that it should be less regulation of environmental types of activities. And the general argument that is, if a company is headquartered, where a company is headquartered, the CEO and the primary operating officers of the company are likely to be more likely to be similar to the underlying values of that particular area. That was what underlied their argument, that's why what they were basing their arguments on. And so what we're looking at in this study is, does that seem to hold relative to what happens with respect to the change in disclosure here? We argue that companies headquartered in red states would be more likely to be aligned with the Trump reasoning with respect to reduced environmental regulation, or from an alternative perspective, would be less likely to be concerned about societal backlash against that because it would likely be less pronounced in a red state where conservative values tend to hold.
So you're going to be delivering a lecture on this subject Friday at Illinois State University. Why does this matter to the public? Why should the public be concerned or care about how companies talk about their own climate change impact and the ebb and flow of that based on whatever the political and social realities are at that time?
Well, I think the real issue here is that I think what we really want, what I would like to see, and I think it, not just me, I think it is society in general, is for companies to be accountable for their social and environmental impacts. And the trouble that we are facing with respect to that is that all reporting, or virtually all reporting on social and environmental issues, it's a voluntary endeavor. And as such, companies have the ability to manipulate what they are doing with respect to disclosure. And study after study tends to document that really it's not about accountability, that these reports, if you look at them and if you go through them, they are providing some pieces of information, but they're really image enhancement documents. And again, if you read very many of these reports, you wonder, how do we have any environmental issues at all with everything that they seem to be doing? The real concern here, though, is that this can then lead to companies avoiding really meaningful actions if what they can do is reduce their exposures just by what they say. And there's evidence that suggests that's true. Another study that we looked at compares, for example, membership in the Dow Jones Sustainability Index and then perceptions of the environmental reputation of companies, and documents that actual environmental performance is actually not related to membership in the Dow Jones Sustainability Index or perceptions of environmental performance, that what seems to be driving it is the extent of environmental disclosure that these companies are making. And those are negatively correlated. It's the worst performers who are out there saying, oh, look what a good job we're doing. Look at everything that we have here. And it has impacts on their perceptions of performance, their membership in the Dow Jones, which we argue then leads to it lessens the probability that they're really going to take meaningful actions to reduce their environmental performance, which I think is what society really wants.
That's Den Patton, a distinguished professor of accounting at ISU's College of Business. He'll be speaking about corporate climate change disclosure during the Trump administration at a lecture Friday at 11 a.m. at ISU. I'm Ryan Denham.